Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up to the minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families, and welcome to Army Wives Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by your Army Wives Network Core Team. We are on show number 496, almost the big 500, and I am your host tonight, Janet McIntosh.
And I'm your co-host, Emily Grace. Today is Monday, November 10th, 2014. Glad you're here to hang out with us.
And just in case you're wondering, which I know you're not because you guys are always listening to us, you know we have our party going on here at Army Wife Network. If you're listening to the show live right now, which we hope you are, but if you are, you can also join our AWN chat, our AWN team in our Twitter party chat. It's really fun, and it's an easy way to follow the chat using Tweet Chat. You can open up tweetchat.com using the hashtag ArmyWife, and it'll allow you to follow that hashtag. If you're looking for a way to listen to the show, you simply log on to blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Inside the Twitter party chat, besides our awesome chatting with our AWN team, we have a way for you to ask our guests some questions so you can follow along. And we also have giveaways that you'll only catch on Twitter, so you won't want to miss out. You can also, of course, follow along the good old-fashioned way, www.twitter.com/ArmyWife Network. And as I said earlier, we are always using the hashtag ArmyWife.
Tonight's show is brought to you by your AWN Core Team. We are a dedicated group of volunteers who are passionate about empowering you in this military life. Get to know us through our bios on ArmyWifeNetwork.com, Instagram with Core Team Tuesdays, or you can follow each of us individually on Twitter. Get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army lives just like we're just like you. Sorry, I can't speak because I'm trying to not sound like a man right now. Sorry.
No, we know. Poor Em. She's getting over. You were sick for, like, forever, and I know you're trying to get over it. So, and I assure you, you do not sound like a man.
Okay.
But tonight on AWTR, for you fans listening, we have our main guest tonight, which is Lori Puhn. She's here to talk to us about avoiding marriage meltdown. If you'd like to follow Lori on social media, you can follow her at Lori Puhn. Her last name is P-U-H-N. You can also follow her on Facebook. She has a page there, Fight Less, Love More. We also have our Money Minute for you tonight. But before we get to all that, we don't really have catching up to do, Miss Emily.
No, we don't. No, we don't. But we'll tell everybody about how much fun we're having. How about that?
Well, the reason we don't have to catch up technically is because me and Miss Emily just saw each other yesterday. Emily came up with this fabulous idea about a month ago to take our young sons to go see the Fresh Beat Band.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my best
ideas. How did you take it from there, Emily?
Okay, so let's talk. First of all, I had all of the fun. And I did not expect to have all – well, I knew I'd have fun with you. But I wasn't expecting to be like I told you at the concert, I could be this excited to see Billy Joel. I mean, these people are famous. Let's talk about that for a minute. It was very exciting to see these people. You see them? I see them on TV.
Emily was starstruck by the Fresh Beat Band. It was hilarious.
I have their music on my phone. I'm a fan, okay? And the fact that they're making it a cartoon now, I'm a little disappointed about it, but we won't get into that. I had so much fun, and so did Matthew. Like, he cannot stop talking about it or playing with that lovely tambourine that you bought him. God bless you. He's still so stoked about it. And
the tambourine is a problem that I brought into both of our lives, okay?
Exactly. I'm glad that it wasn't just me with the tambourine, because I would feel like you didn't really like me. But since we both have the juice, I feel good about it. But he said that he's worried. He's because you know my child worries about things like the battery's running out. He said he was worried about forgetting, not remembering that he went and saw the Fresh Beat Band. Like, dude, seriously, I won't let you forget. You'll be getting married, and we'll be talking about this. So I would not worry about it if I were you.
It was actually a really good time. They did put on a good show. I didn't really get into it until I heard Oh Bananas, because that's not the only song I remember them doing back when Aiden was a little bit younger. He used to watch them all the time. But they actually do put on a really good show, and I did. I had a blast. And so thank you, Emily, for thinking of me and Aiden for that.
Well, first of all, I was going to be in Atlanta. I was going to drag you somehow. And second of all, let's get into the fact that you were excited about Go Bananas. I mean, you would have thought your wedding song came on or some sort of significant song. You are on it. You are on it.
I'm sure I scared a few kids in the process. But I tell you what, for those of you that may not know, recently I have a degree in elementary education, and recently I've been doing a long-term sub position in a kindergarten classroom. And let me just tell you how popular I am now in my kindergarten classroom, okay? When I told these kids that, guess who I saw yesterday, the Fresh Beat Band, these kids were like, what? It was hilarious. They were just like, oh, my God, you really saw him? I'm like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, I did. Yep, right here.
See, you know, I'm bummed that we didn't get the floor seating. Bummed for math.
We probably would have gotten kicked out if we had floor seating.
Yeah, I did not need that drama in my life. I was bummed for him, but like, I had so much fun, and I have to say out loud, thank you. Even though I told you to wake me up this morning, thank you for not doing that before you left. Dude, I was so tired. Like Matthew woke me up. And I was just like, he was shoving a paper in my face, and I was like, stop, you need to go away. Find something to do in Miss Janet's house, because you cannot come back.
He was showing a check in your face.
I was like, yeah, he put it on my face, okay? So I did not miss it. So all it needed was to be sticky, and I would have been set. But he kept moving it around, and I was like, I need you to go find something to do. But thank you for not waking me up. I appreciate it because I was a little tired. I'm just fine.
Well, now we get to be all excited about our next big adventure coming up. Next week, for those of you listening, Army Wife Network is headed to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and it's going to be an epic road trip for us to get there.
Yes, I cannot wait. Are you kidding me? And we won't have our kids with us. Not that we don't.
Oh, my gosh, it's on.
Just saying, it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited for the field. Guys.
We're going to be like Thelma and Louise without the cliff.
Right? The road is not ready for us. I am super excited. And we get to see Corey. I haven't seen Corey since the Fort Knox show.
I know. I haven't seen Corey since we were at Knox. I think that's the last time the majority of us were together at a field exercise. So I'm excited that Corey's going to be there, and we get to go hang out at Miss Tara's house and destroy all her stuff and party. And
I have my own bed. I'm excited about this.
I just want a formal introduction with the love sack. Like, that thing, ever since she bought that thing, I'm, like, so excited to meet that thing in person. Let me tell you.
We need to stop saying love sack. I can't handle that right now. I'm super excited to hang out with you guys. Can I tell you, though, before we go, on Friday I have to volunteer at Matthew's school because I gave the impression that I love children. And I do love my child. Please, I love my child. I'm just not a fan of the rest of them. So my son's teacher, we got really close. We're really cool. And she asked if I would come volunteer, like basically watch the kids for the lunch hour so that the teachers can have grown-up time. And
I can just see your face while that was being asked of you. I honestly can't.
Like in person, like,
do you not know me?
I'm like, well, she knows me. I broke the news to her. But she asked me in person, and I'm not a good liar. I'm not. I would make the most awful bank robber ever in life. And I was just like, oh, sure, because I have nothing to do. And so I'm doing that.
You do know that requires pants, right? Just saying.
I do. I'm already picking out the pants that I will wear, and I will not wear any until that day. But she knows how I feel about kids, and she was like, you know, I wouldn't ask you unless I knew I had an amazing group, and you're going to have a lot of fun. And I was like, I'm sure. I just, you know, you need to tell me, like, how this works, because I'm really awkward in so many situations, and being around children is one of them, because I tend to say inappropriate things, and I don't mean to. It just happens that way. And she's, like, not even a little bit concerned. She just, whatever, you'll be fine. Don't worry. I just want to have lunch with my friends. I'm like, okay, so we'll do that then. And that'll be interesting. I look forward to seeing who's alive at the end of lunch on that day.
Well, and I tell you, because, like, I eat lunch with my kindergartners every day, and you're going to be, like, the coolest kid on the block sitting there with them. They love having people there with them, and I'm pretty positive you're going to have a good time.
Like, with Matthew, when I go have lunch with him at his school, he's the coolest kid. He is the coolest kid that's ever happened to that school. He is so proud that from his mother. Like, I'm going to be so sad when that stopped happening. But, like, he just is so stoked that his mom is there. And he introduces me. He's like, this is my mom. Her name is Miss Emily. I was like, oh, really? Are we doing that? And and every now and then he thinks he's cute, and he'll call me Emily, like, hey, Emily, do you like your lunch? It's like, no, boo, we're not doing that.
Hold up, wait a minute.
Don't forget who you are, because I haven't forgotten where I am. Don't forget who you are. But he's super curious about it. But, okay, enough about me. Let's talk about you, because I just talked a whole lot. So you're subbing in the classroom, and you deal with all this all day, and I can't even imagine it.
Yes, but the good news is that, and I'm sure there's many military spouses out there that can relate, after trying for so long to find a job in the school, I actually got offered a job today by the principal and was like, oh my gosh, that only took 3 years. Like, wow. I just couldn't even believe it. And it was funny because I was in the classroom and she came to the classroom and was like, can I talk to you outside? Or, you know, out in the hall. And so, of course, my immediate reaction is, oh, man, what happened? Like, either I'm in trouble or these kids are in trouble. Like, what happened? And that's when she told me, she was like, I have a job opportunity, and she wanted to make sure, you know, if I wanted it before she offered it to someone else. And so, of course, I told her, yes, absolutely, I was interested. And so I got a job. Imagine that.
I'm so happy for you. I am so thinking happy for you. You totally deserve it. And I'm going to miss you while you're working all day. I'm just saying. I'm going to text you occasionally. I miss you now. And you're subbing. And it's not like you're gone like 24 hours a day. You're just at school. But I'm like, you're not. I need you to be accessible to me 24 hours a day. I'm just saying. I miss you already. But I'm so stinking happy for you.
I'm glad. It allows me to focus on the two things I love the most, which is teaching and Army Wife Network. So I get my two passions. They're together. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, and it feels good to be in that position. So, and for anyone, any military spouse's teacher out there, they know I've got this formula, like, down pat. I mean, it takes 2 to 3 years to get that reputation built up to where you kind of have proven yourself, where someone will offer you a job, and then it's like, PCS, let's do it, you know? It's like,
yeah.
So, but this sets us up really good, because we do have a PCS coming up this coming summer, but this will look really nice on my resume, and hopefully this will do great things for us where we go next. So I'm really excited to get the experience.
I'm going to cry like a big, fat, the biggest, fattest baby when you leave. I'm just saying. You're going to leave me all by myself in Alabama. Like, in this whole part of the country, I'm going to be all by myself. I'm really bummed about it, but whatever. I'll have a baby to keep me occupied. Oh, yeah. I'm having a baby. Completely forgot about that. Like,
by the way, I'm making a human being.
At so many points during this pregnancy, I've completely forgot I'm making a person. It's absolutely ridiculous. But let's go into the fact that your husband's coming back for Christmas. That'd be awkward. Your husband's coming back for Christmas. Are you excited?
Yes, I'm so thinking excited, but the kids don't know. I'm going to try for one of these epic, like, I'm going to surprise, you know, the holy, you know, everything out of you. We're going to attempt to do that, and so my kids think that he was not able to get leave from Korea to come home, but little do they know.
Please have somebody have, like, a recorder, like your phone ready to record it, because it's going to
Yeah,
because
I'm basically telling them that, like, my best friend Shannon, who they all know as Aunt Shannon, is, like, she's family, so, you know, they think of her as an aunt. I'm telling them that she's coming in. That's who we have to go pick up at the airport. And so they'll be expecting to see Aunt Shannon, but they'll see Daddy instead. So I'm very excited. I've never had an opportunity to surprise them like this. So I'm really excited because, you know, they don't think he's coming home. And it's so cool, though, to get to have him home for Christmas. So we're really, really excited.
I'm excited for you. That's going to be awesome.
But, oh, my gosh, and look at the time. It is time to roll on over to AWN and see what's been going on over at Army Wife Network.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
Ladies, and check it out.
So, we always have good conversation going on over at the Army Wife Network Facebook page, but we had our hot topic that seemed to be getting the most most talked about over there was the fact that routine pet surgeries are being canceled at military veterinary clinics. The U.S. Army Public Health Command temporarily suspended routine surgeries on pets at all military veterinary clinics. This move was designed to increase revenue and return the clinics to their main function, which is providing basic physicals and sick call hours for privately owned animals. I'm sure we will be posting the link to that story from Army Times in our Twitter party. So if you'd like to go take a look at that, you can always head on over to the Army Wife Network Facebook page and take a look and let us know what your thoughts are. What do you think about this? You know, a ton of us have fur babies, and so I'm sure it affects a lot of us. So we want to know what you think. So head on over there and check it out.
And hot on AWM this week is an experience blog from Marilee. It has been 5 years since the tragic shooting at Fort Hood, Texas. And Marilee's blog is the story of one of those in the community who was not only a witness to that sad day, but also saw bravery and courage as a community united together. You can check out her blog under the experience section of Army Lives on ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Did we get into Loving a Soldier and Army Wife Network merging?
Yes, our new site, ta-da, it's here. It's been released. We hope you guys are over there loving it. It looks great. Hopefully it's a lot easier for you to kind of navigate and find your favorite things. And so now we don't have the Loving a Soldier blog because it's now merged with Army Wife Network. So if you head on over to Loving a Soldier, it's still up for right now, but later on you may find that it'll redirect you to our new site. So you can find Meryl's blog either at Loving a Soldier for right now, or you can also find it at Army Wife Network, the new site, under our experience blogs. And I have to say, she did a really great job on that blog and really kind of caught, you know, how it felt to be a part of that day. And it was so tragic, but to be able to see that other side, you know, to have someone who saw that bravery and this community coming together to help each other was just awesome.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. I was a new military spouse, like brand spanking new. Like, I think Tom was at OCS, and I was freaking out. I remember I was in D.C., but I was so affected by it because it just scared me to death about this life, And
well, yeah, it was a hard day for us. My husband, his sister, my sister-in-law, she is also in the Army, and they were stationed at Fort Hood when that happened. They weren't involved, obviously, as like they weren't where the shooting took place, but they were with their two children on the installation, and they were actually stuck on the installation in their car for hours because, you know, they had locked down the installation and nobody could get on and off. And at the time, my niece was just an infant, and, you know, they were running out of supplies. And so she was kind of texting us once we knew they were okay, and she was just like, man, and so thankfully they were able to get further enough down the road where they were able to get to a PX and pick up some supplies and stuff like that. But I know that that had to be a super scary situation to be sitting in. And you know, until we heard from them, it was like, oh, my gosh, I hope his sister wasn't there. You know, like, it was very, very scary. But I just hope everybody will read her blog and not forget those that lost their lives that day and their families. But I also, again, I love that it also shows just how strong this community can be when something tragic happens, you know, within our community. So head on over there to Army Wife Network and check that out. Over on our social media roundup, we do want you guys to know that we are on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube. But today we're going to talk about Pinterest because I'm sure there's a ton of you guys out there that are pinners. Would you like to join 3,941 other pinners? Well, we are over there. AWN is on Pinterest, and thanks to our very own Pinterest Paula, who keeps everything nice and organized over there. One of the great pins we've recently had, have you ever wondered where to start your emergency preparedness? Well, you can check out a pin that we have over there that will tell you exactly where to start to get your emergency plan for your family in order and be ready for any situation that might arise. So head on over to Pinterest and check out Army Wife Network.
And last but not least is public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit one per show, and we ask for them 10 days in advance to info@armywifenetwork.com. Military Times announces, give your vet a shout-out. You've got three steps to do that. One, find a favorite photo or write some thoughtful words. Two, post to Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, tagged with hashtag MyVeteran. And three, visit militarytimes.com/MyVeteran to watch this year's tributes roll in.
And that's right, guys. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. Be sure you get out there and celebrate with our veterans. Thank them for their service. If you know a veteran who owns a military-owned business, go out there and buy something from them. Keep them in business. There's so many ways for you guys to go out there and honor our veterans and their service to this country. This one by Military Times is a great way to give a vet that's close to you a shout-out. So we hope you'll go over there and take a look at that.
Yeah, and speaking of veteran-owned businesses, we're going to put out a military holiday gift guide on Cyber Monday, and every single product in that guide is made by a veteran or a military spouse, and it's going to be awesome.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's going to blow your mind. I'm just throwing that out there. So be on the lookout. But that's
we just start like a hashtag or something, buy veteran for Christmas, buy military spouse for Christmas.
Right? We'll talk about that. Coming up, commercial breaks is AWN's new 6th Gen, bringing you the needs and the stories. We'll be right back.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Gen, bringing you all your need-to-know news. President Obama used his weekly radio address to honor veterans and advocate for the support and resources to help them succeed. On the week before Veterans Day, President Obama used his weekly radio address to honor veterans. Obama noted that the end of a war marks only the beginning of America's obligations to those who serve. In addition to imparting thanks and respect to veterans, Obama said, Americans should ensure they get the care and benefits they've earned whenever they need them. Ultimately, Obama said, veterans deserve their opportunity for the American dream they risked their lives to defend. Facilitating job placement worthy of veterans' skills and talents, and making sure the post-9/11 GI Bill stays strong to provide veterans with a college education will yield success for all Americans, he added. The responsibility to honor veterans far exceeds the boundaries of government, the president stressed. It's a job for every American, he said. We're all keepers of that sacred trust that says, if you put on a uniform and risk your life to keep us safe, we'll do our part for you. We'll make sure you and your family get the support you need. We'll have your backs just like you had ours. President Obama has authorized the deployment of an additional 1,500 troops to Iraq to help combat ISIL. Pentagon Press Secretary Rear Admiral John Kirby announced this week that President Obama has authorized Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel to deploy up to 1,500 additional troops to Iraq as part of the strategy to defeat terrorists from the Islamic State of Iraq in the Levant. The troop increase was recommended following a request by Iraq's government and an assessment of Iraqi units by U.S. Central Command, Kirby said. The decision was also based on an evaluation of the progress made by Iraqi security forces in the field, and it comes in concert with the development of a coalition campaign plan to defend key areas and go on the offensive against ISIL terrorists, the admiral said. The admiral said about 630 of the newly authorized troops will be assigned to the expanded advise and assist mission. In addition, CENTCOM will also establish several new training sites across Iraq that will accommodate the training of 12 Iraqi brigades. The remainder of the troops will be assigned to this mission in various roles, including logistics and force protection. In response to the attack in Canada that resulted in the death of a soldier, a new Army policy is restricting access to Fort Jackson. Visitors to Fort Jackson now will have to be escorted or be vetted by the FBI and receive credentials to have access to the post, although the rules allow flexibility for some large events. The restricted access is to comply with the new Army regulations intended to protect soldiers and their families from attacks such as the one in Ottawa, Canada last month, in which a soldier was killed. We're taking prudent measures to ensure that soldiers and family members have proper protection, Fort Jackson's Garrison Commander, Colonel Mike Grease, said. We said the new rules allow flexibility for some large public events on installations, such as Fort Jackson's Family Days on Wednesdays and basic training graduations on Thursdays. For now, the commander said, visitors to those events can continue to enter with only a driver's license as the installation tries to develop measures to meet the new Army regulations. On other days of the week, visitors will be required to be screened. Temporary credentials can be issued on the spot through the physical security office after visitors' names are checked through the FBI National Crime Database. Those who frequent the fort can apply for an extended pass for up to a year. Once vetted and cleared, individuals will be issued credentials allowing them access. The credentials must be carried by the visitor at all times while they are on the fort. This is your need-to-know news for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen signing off.
My first week home was great. We had a party.
2 o'clock in the morning, they were waiting for me.
My niece was waiting for me at the airport with a sign.
There was a huge sign across my front house, and it said, "Welcome home, Megan."
They lifted me up on their shoulders. And
first week back, people just said thank you.
Now, what about the second week? A new generation of veterans is coming home. Make a difference for them at WelcomeBackVeterans.org.
Brought to you by WelcomeBackVeterans.org, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Janet McIntosh.
And I'm your co-host, Emily Grace. Tonight we have with us Lori Pune, JD, author of the national bestseller, Fight Less, Love More, 5-Minute Conversations to Change Your Relationship Without Blowing Up or Giving It. She is also the creator of the online virtual Fight Less, Love More couples course.
Lori is a Harvard-educated lawyer, family and couples mediator, and television personality, appearing regularly on Fox News Channel, Imus in the Morning, Good Day New York, and is quoted in national magazines and newspapers. She's here to talk to us tonight about avoiding marriage meltdown. So we'd like to welcome you to our show tonight, Lori.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Now, Lori, we normally start our segments off by having our guests tell our listeners a little bit about themselves and where they're calling from.
Sure. I'm calling from Westchester County, which is in New York, about a half hour outside of New York City. And I'm married with 2 kids and a third on the way, and have absolutely loved teaching, writing, and educating people on conflict resolution through the Fight Less, Love More books and couples course, which is online and virtual now.
Look at that, Emily. She's making a human too.
How about that? I made fingerprints last week. What did you do?
When am I due? I'm due in February.
Me too.
Oh, that's so funny.
How about that? Okay, well, we'll get into that.
Love More. I take it seriously.
Right. So your book, Fight Less, Love More, is a national bestseller. Can you tell us how much fighting is too much? Because I kind of need to know.
Okay, well, the truth is that 5 fights a week could be fine, and 1 fight a week could be devastating. And what I mean is, yeah, it's
right?
Not about, it is. In fact, the average couple fights twice a week. So most of us probably are normal hitting that amount.
Yeah, I'm pretty average.
If you're spending time with your spouse, you're going to have some fights. But the problem really isn't about how many fights. It's about whether they reach a solution. And if you can remember a fight you had that reached a solution that worked for both of you, it was actually a good experience. And if you can think of a fight or that common fight you have that maybe you have once a week or twice a week, and it always seems to rear its ugly head again, the unresolved argument, that's one issue. It could be once a week, but it could really be devastating. So what I look at is, you know, from a realistic point of view, we're all going to fight, and that's fine. We have different opinions, different perspectives. But what we want is a really quick, what I call 5-minute strategies, that's the subtitle, 5-minute conversations, to get to a solution the first time that's lasting so we don't have to fight about it again.
I love that. I have got to get this book because there's one fight that my husband and I keep having, and I'm kind of done with having it.
Okay.
So I think that
what's that?
Cause, no. Okay, let's get into that. While we were in Korea, he decided he wanted to buy a car while he was on vacation stateside.
Oh, you're going to love this, Lori. You're going to love this.
And he's about $10,000 over budget, and it is not what we agreed on. And so every single time I look at that car, I want to kick it. And I cannot help but be upset every time I look at it, because it was not what we agreed on. He, of course, went out with his best friend and got a sporty car because he wanted to keep up with his best friend. And it's so outside of our budget. It is so outside of our budget. And
okay.
We fight a lot about it.
All right. So there's one fight, one topic, recurs. It's not going to be the end of your marriage, but it's certainly a pebble in your shoe.
And
it's irritating.
Big old pebble.
And you're not alone. I think most of us have something like that in our relatively healthy marriage. So what do we do about it? Well, number one, when you buy a car, it's not returnable, unfortunately. You can resell it.
I figured that.
But,
I figured that out real quick.
Right. So let's deal with our realistic situation. So the primary problem, believe it or not, is this, and this is why people fight around the wrong problem. The primary problem you're facing is, how do you know it won't happen again?
Yes. Right. That's exactly it.
That's it. So what's done
exactly
is done, and you're a logical, rational person, and we all are. And, you know, people like to think there's a difference between men and women in that, and there isn't. You know it's after the fact. But the thing that makes you pissed day in and out is, how do you trust it won't happen again? So what you want to do is have a good fight. And you sit down, and you do sit instead of chasing each other around the house, slamming doors. The first thing is to try to sit. And you start to say, you know, what were you thinking? What brought you to do that? You know, you try and get an understanding of what the person's perspective was. And after you listen to that respectfully, you share your perspective. Here's why, and this is the key, here's why I felt betrayed, right? It's not just the money. Here's why I felt disrespected. And then you just point out, so the issue we're facing is, I get that the car is done, but how can I have faith that agreements we have in the future, you know, won't be thrown out the window? I mean, can you understand that that's my concern? And from that, you work pretty quickly. I think your mate would likely understand that that's a continued concern. And you try to brainstorm solutions. What can we come to agree upon? How can we come to an understanding that would help me have faith in the future that our promises to one another will stick? What can we do differently in the future?
Oh, my gosh. Can I borrow you? If you could just come and have
I'm all in written form. I'm telling you, I've heard you can hear my personality through the book. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I think that's awesome that you were able to kind of just instantaneously get to the root of what that probably truly is about that fight.
You know, think of it as a perfect apology in a way, because the mistake could be really small, or it could be, you know, a 20 grand mistake. And the issue is when a person says, I'm sorry, which are like a very nice two words, it doesn't really feel sincere. But what you want to do then is coach your mate into what I call the two-part apology, which is, all right, I'm sorry for, and thanks for saying what you're sorry for. But in the future, you know, I want to have confidence it won't happen again. So what kind of plan can we put into place to prevent the same mistake from happening again? And that's the two-part apology. It's the first is I'm sorry for, and the second is in the future I will. And it's the way to apologize, whether you've made the mistake or you can kind of coach your mate into it, or a friend into it, or a child into it. So that we can actually use the mistake as an opportunity to have a better and brighter future.
Now I'm going to go into Janet's world here for a minute. Because I love what you're saying. I'm big on apologizing. Like, I'm big about, you know, own what you did, apologize, and then you learn from it. Like what you're saying, you know, how are you going to make sure this doesn't happen in the future? Now, my darling husband refuses to apologize for anything.
Okay.
Like, I think we've been married almost 16 years. I don't think I've ever heard the words I'm sorry come out of his mouth.
Okay. Does he ever admit to being wrong?
No. What he does is, like, because, you know, when you're married that long, you kind of, obviously, you get to know your spouse, who you're with. And I've noticed over the years that when he knows he's wrong, like, I guess when I've blocked him into a corner and he knows that he's wrong, he won't admit it and he won't apologize for it. He'll, like, do the dishes.
Okay.
Like, he does something around the house that he thinks, I guess, will make me happy.
Okay.
And I think that's his way of saying, I'm sorry.
Like, you were right,
I'm wrong. But he can't verbally say that to me.
Okay. So, have you ever said to him, when you do the dishes, does that mean you're sorry?
No, I've actually never brought it up with him.
Because what you could do is put some of those things, just as a side note between us, you could just literally put it on the table and be like, I am interpreting X, Y, and Z, these actions you take, as words like I'm sorry, even though it's hard for you to say.
Right.
Am I right in thinking that? And so
that's
kind
very true. I've never called him on it, so.
Yeah, so see that. And then the other piece to that is, you know, another way to persuade somebody that I'm sorry or I'm wrong is awesome. It's a great thing to say, is that it is a wonderful way to show that you're an honest person, to show that you have integrity, right? Because the person
right.
who's never wrong is a liar.
Oh, that's scary.
Right? They clearly have a facade of who they want people to think they are, and for some reason they think that a person who's never wrong is a desirable quality. So if you
that's
were to
true.
Sort of pinprick that balloon and explain that when somebody acknowledges that, you could say maybe that they're wrong, it actually means that you're a really honest person, and I have even more trust in your future words and choices, not less.
Ah, very true. Gosh, you are amazing, Lori.
Hey, he's about there fooling us. This is ridiculous.
Well, and let me ask you this, because I know we've been kind of giving you some case scenarios here, and our listeners are probably, I'm sure, learning a lot. But at the same time, considering the world that we live in, obviously being military spouses, mm-hmm. how do we... You know, you're talking about, like you told Emily, you know, sit down on the couch, and,
right.
you know, we're talking about these ways to kind of communicate when we're together, but what if we don't have that in-person time? How do we make, you know, sometimes we have a limited amount of time together. How do we make that time count?
Well, I think you can do it, and not only can you do it, the best things that we could do is to take some of the most important conversations and make them as short as possible, because... To be honest, how long of an attention span do people really have? And even when we're together in the room together, somebody starts looking the other way, and then that causes a fight. So the reality is you can do it over the phone, and our course, Fight Less, Love More, is online virtual. We have couples from different cities who are traveling for work or whatnot who take the class together with a small group of couples, and they're not even in the same room together. So it really can work, and you can heal, and you can grow being apart. So, for instance, you know, if you have 30 seconds for a text message or a phone call or an email, you could just write, hey, I remember that you had a doctor's appointment today. How did it go? ? And you, in those few seconds, just say, I remember what's going on in your life, and I care about what happens. And that's love. I mean, how many people in your life are going to remember what you did that day? Like, probably no one else. So that's a role that our spouse can have. It's very easy. And the same thing when it comes to fighting or whatnot. You know, you could take a disagreement and look at it and say, you know, we're disagreeing about this topic, and I'd really like to understand where you're coming from. And then what I call ask neutral questions. Why do you think that? You know, where did that come from? Am I missing something? And it only takes a few minutes. And in those few minutes, whether you're, you know, 1,000 miles apart or next door or in the same room, you show such a deep level of respect just to ask more questions, to actually encourage him or her to talk more about it for a few minutes, which usually we just want to shut people down. So that's an amazing way to communicate the value of respect from afar. So we have to remember that our words are so powerful, and what we say or don't say in just a few minutes can convey, you know, love or neglect right there and then.
Lori, as male spouses, we deal with separation a lot. How can we be good role models in marriage for our children when our spouses are away a lot?
Well, the first thing is to realize that it is important to make your spouse somewhat of a part of, you know, conversation or daily life in a respectful and loving manner every day. Because the ability to compliment your spouse in front of your kids is actually a really rare ability. And I don't know if you've seen many couples doing it. Usually we hear couples putting their mates down in front of other people. And if you've ever been to dinner with a couple who does that, you're like, oh, my gosh, I hope we never do that.
That's awful.
It is awful. And, you know, so the reality is that you don't need your spouse there in order to say something positive about him or her in front of your kids. And that's a really valuable thing to do. And then in terms of, you know, phone calls or things, maybe you keep a list of, like, the things you want to tell your mom. Be like, your kid tells you something about school. So, you know what, let's put that on the daddy list. You know, you just keep a short list of things you want to mention in the call. Now, is daddy necessarily, like, absolutely enthralled with hearing that your child got, like, 2 stars that day at school? Maybe, maybe not. But to, you know, build your spouse up as a person who cares and wants to know and that you care, that he knows, you know, that you're involved with each other's lives even from afar, that's the role model. And if you do have a fight, it's also people are afraid that their kids would hear it. It's okay. If you have a fight, you can talk to your kids and say, you know, and I'll tell you personal experience. I've said to my son, you know, one time when my husband and I had a disagreement, you know, oh, did you hear daddy and I disagree? He's like, yeah, my son is 6. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I just want you to know, you know, it's okay. Like daddy and I reached a solution and we worked it out. And people have different opinions, and we're going to have disagreements sometimes. And he goes to me, I know that, Mommy. I'm like, how do you know that? He's like, well, of course.
Because you modeled it.
He's like, of course you have different opinions. You're 2 different people. And I was like,
well, and I think that's so super important
right.
for our families, because I think you have to model that. You know what I'm saying? They have to see, you know, that that's part of having a healthy relationship is you're not always going to agree. You know, I think it's a lot about how you fight. You know what I'm saying? Not like you were saying, you could fight 5 times a week and still have a very healthy marriage. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think it's more about how you handle disagreements with your spouse. You know what I'm saying? That really models that behavior for your children.
Absolutely, because what happens actually in children, some of the research out there shows that for children of divorce, they're more afraid of fights. Of what might be an ordinary fight to somebody else feels like the end of the world. It could to a child of divorce because they don't have experience seeing fights get resolved. So you can role model that, and you can talk about, you know, what kinds of fights are good and why, you know, and I don't mean throwing plates are good, but which thankfully you can't do on the phone. But, you know, realizing that disagreements are okay if you can be respectful and work toward reaching a solution. And that's really an amazing example that you can give for your kids. And another key point is to understand that even when you have a fight, there's a basic communication routine every couple has. And this could be through phone calls, emails, you know, or in person. And it's about the daily communication habits. So when you get on the phone with your spouse, is the first thing that you do, you know, list your complaints or whatever were the biggest issues you faced that day? Or is it like, hi, honey, how are you? Which would have been hi, good morning if they were in your house. And, you know, when you hang up, do you want to say good night? Or do you just hang up, you know, in a huff? Do you say I love you because and fill in the blank with something really big or really small? That you love the person for. You know, these are habits that we should have in our lives, whether we're physically together or not, and they need to withstand the fight. That's the thing.
Right. No, I hear you completely. And Lori, you've given us some fabulous information so far. We are going to have to take a quick break for our listeners. Don't worry. We'll be right back with Lori. And also our AWN core team is over in our Twitter party chat having some fun discussions. And we have our giveaway going on, so make sure you're over there to check that out, twitter.com/Army Wife Network. We're over there using the hashtag Army Wife. When we come back, we're going to talk some more with Lori about her book and about some more advice that she can give our listeners. So we'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Love where you live. When you move into a Corvius home, you'll find more than just convenient on-post housing at 7 Army installations across the country. You'll also find fun family events, upscale fitness centers, resort-style pools, and more. Our award-winning customer service, 24-hour maintenance, and smiling faces are just waiting to welcome you. Love your next home at CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. That's CorviusMilitaryLiving.com.
Companies are turning to social media to learn about job candidates. This is a Defending Your Cash Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. Nearly 2 in 5 companies now use social media sites to research job candidates, according to a 2013 nationwide survey conducted by Harris Interactive on behalf of CareerBuilder. Sherry Beck Paprocki, co-author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Branding Yourself, says make sure you're in great shape when a potential employer Googles your name. Consider starting fresh. Delete a profile you're ashamed of and start anew. You'll need to rebuild friends and followers, and some posts may stay in cyberspace, so be ready to explain any regrettable posts if you're asked about them during an interview. And starting today, keep it clean and professional. Google how to untag photos and remove your name from images posted by others. Finally, build your personal brand. Create a good LinkedIn profile with a professional-looking photo and upload links to interesting news articles about your profession. This Defending Your Cash Minute is made possible by USAA. USAA offers a suite of financial services online at USAA.com.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
And we want to welcome you back to our show. We are here talking with Lori Pune, JD, author of the national bestseller, Fight Less, Love More, 5-Minute Conversations to Change Your Relationship Without Blowing Up or Giving In. Before we went to break, Lori was kind of giving me and Emily some little mini sessions and giving our listeners some great advice. So, Lori, let's start off this segment by talking about your opinion on having friends of the opposite sex. I know for a lot of couples that can be a sore spot, you know, if a spouse has more friends, you know, of the opposite sex, that could cause problems in a marriage.
Yes. Well, the first is if you happen to be both physically, you know, together, that no one's abroad, then sorry to say, ladies, but you do have to invite your spouse to come to any cocktail party with you or any drinks after work with you when there's you do, you know. If it's an office party and you're just going for that, an hour of it or an hour and a half, fine. But if after that hour and a half you're also going to go out for drinks with, like, 3 guys and 1 lady who you work with, now the call better come in to your spouse to ask
him. Yeah, I hear you on that one.
Ask him to join you. And you might think, but I'm the most trustworthy person in the world. Yeah, well, you know what? We can only control ourselves, and your spouse can't control you. So your spouse doesn't really know for sure, and he shouldn't, because that's part of what Fight Less, Love More is all about. It's that, you know, nobody is a fixed item, and that we constantly have to work on communicating values and respect. Otherwise, you know, expect your marriage to go downhill. You know, that's
right.
That's how marriages go downhill. They don't say I do and think, you know, oh, we're probably going to cheat on each other. You know, it comes along when people feel neglected. So you don't want your mate to feel neglected, and that is a responsibility. So do invite, want to have friends of the opposite sex, that's great. But then the other thing is private public boundaries, and that's another chapter, and it's actually one of in our online virtual course, which, by the way, couples can take from across the world. You can be in different places, different cities. It's great for the military couples. You know, realize what's on the list of public-private, and are your own marriage fights on something that's private, meaning that you're not to share that with any friends, male or female. And that should be a clear conversation. What is considered private? And you got to abide by that in a marriage, because our first obligation is to our spouse. So that's another way to handle friendships outside of your marriage, is that those people are not privy to the inside scoop.
And to me, it's also a big respect thing for me. Mm-hmm. Like, one thing that when my husband and I, when we got, before we got married, we went through marriage count, like premarital counseling, and our pastor at the time had said, basically to avoid the appearance of impropriety.
Yeah.
Like you could be doing nothing wrong, but perception is reality, and you need to avoid that altogether. And I stand by that. And it's something that I I remind my husband every now and then, just so we can be on the same page. We've been together for 10 years. We need to, you know, let's remind each other every now and then. Because, you know, you do have these moments of, like, who is this random person you're talking to? Because I have no idea who that person is. And that's a problem for me.
Right.
I just want to know what's going on. That's all I want to know is what's going on. Because if it was the other way around, I'm very forthcoming. I'm not very shy. So it's, you know, I need to know what's going on in order for me to feel secure in this relationship.
Right. And
I'm a really private person.
And sometimes people want to think, well, he should just trust me. Well, guess what?
No.
He shouldn't.
See, that's the way my husband is. My husband, if I question something, he's like, well, I don't even understand why you're questioning it. Like, you should just trust me. That's exactly what his take is on that kind of stuff.
Right. And the answer is, I do trust you, but I'm not feeling great. So,
no, and you know what?
Would you like to help me feel better? Here's how you can help me feel better. You could share this information.
I can't hang with that.
Emily's over there like, nope.
Look,
can't do it.
I feel like I'm right. Like my husband's having this conversation. I'm having this conversation with him right now. That's how I feel. No, we can't. We're not doing that. Because I always tell him, and Ted Bundy was a great guy. So I need to know what's going on. I need to know what's happening. And I'm a really private person. I don't like my business out there. And I need to know that my business is not going to be out there. It's something that's a sticking point for me.
Well, and
you know,
that was another question that we actually had for Lori about, you know, when we might be having a problem in our marriage about bringing friends or extended family into that situation. Is that something you would recommend, or do you think that couples should leave friends and their extended family out of those conversations?
It has to be a joint decision. If you value, let me say this, though. If someone is being, you know, abused physically or emotionally, go get help. Talk to your family. You know, that person doesn't have the power to be a part of the decision as to what you should share or not. They're no longer a part of that decision. But if that's not the case, then in other marriages that are generally healthy, it has to be a joint decision. You know, are you comfortable with my telling my mother that you're having a health issue? Are we ready to share that we might be moving? What about a problem we're having with our kid in school? I mean, your husband might be abroad, but he should still be consulted on that. And if he says, you know what, I have faith in your decision, if you feel you need to discuss it with someone, please go ahead. Great, then do it. But, you know, he's going to come back. So you really need to still respect that what he considers private truly matters. And that is another way to show that you're a union, because we have to protect our union. You know, that's what the wedding vow is, and we can't just treat it like another friendship.
So I have a question. I would say my husband and I, we've been together for 10 years, and it's, I mean, we've had our ups and downs, but we have a great relationship. We've got a great kid. But what can we do to keep it that way or make it better?
Sure. Well, the first thing you can do if you are in person is to do what I call love plays. And they take 30 seconds. So the first thing you want to do is when you come in the door, actually touch each other and do it in front of your child. You know, put your arm around each other's shoulders or back. And you can say to him, hey, honey, I'm going to do this from now on when you walk in the door. And have fun with it and tell him you'd love it if he would do that too. And
okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I have to say, what if you're not a touchy-feely person? Because I'm not a touchy-feely person, and he is.
Well, then you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to meet him.
I'm
going to
make sure he doesn't hear this conversation. I'm just kidding.
No, but you got to then give him permission to put his arm around you for 2 seconds. Or you know what? You initiate the kind of touchy-feely that you're comfortable with, maybe just giving him a kiss on the cheek. But if that's something that he needs, then honestly, he probably would feel a little neglected if he, day in and day out, it's like just reserved for the special times.
Right. I mean, I try. And it's one of those you do it anyway, and I do try. But like,
well,
I mean, I have a limit, and it just once I reach that threshold, it's like you can go away now, because I am all touched out. Because I mean, because I have a kid, I have a 5-year-old who I'm the most amazing thing that's ever happened in his whole life, and he's super. I just want to be with you, Mom, and so is my husband. I just want to be with you, and so is my dog. I just want to be with you. So, and for me, it's just a lot. It gets to be
like overload.
Yeah, it really does.
Well, how hard would it really be if you spend the first minute or the 10th minute upon his arrival of giving him complete attention for 1 minute?
That won't be hard, and that's a great idea. And I needed that. Like, come on, get
yeah,
it together.
It's,
and
sometimes
I really needed
things,
that.
We make things into a really big deal, and it's just such a short amount of time that makes a big difference, that lets your husband know you're happy that he's home. Because what does it mean if your behavior is the same before he walks in the door and after he walks in the door? It means his presence doesn't affect you.
Oh.
And that's really sad.
Oh, that's true.
Hey.
That's very true.
And even
I'm like the worst wife ever.
No, you're not. You're actually what probably 98% of wives and husbands do, because we just get on the roll, you know? We all start off giving lots of focus to each other. Could you imagine going on a date, your date shows up, and you say nothing but let's go get the food? I mean, that'd be crazy. But then eventually that becomes the norm. So we do have to step outside of ourselves a little bit, be a little bit uncomfortable, shake it up a little bit, and start to put a little more energy into our marriages. And the truth is that energy for this 1 minute a day or 5 minute talk a day really saves us so much energy from all the fights and neglect that could come forth. So it's such a time saving overall.
Now, Lori, unfortunately, we are so getting ready to run out of time, but I think it's really important to ask you this last question for our listeners. And then afterwards, please feel free to let our listeners know where they can find out more about your book and about you and about the virtual course. But when do they need to seek help? Like, when are things to that point where they need to start looking for help?
Well, there is nothing wrong with help. You want to find good help. And that's
right.
That's the difference. You know, if you go to a therapist and you ask them, like, what do you see your role here in marriage therapy? Oh, my role is to help you figure out what you want to do. That's not a good therapist, because you want a therapist who's going to tell you, my role is to help you make this marriage better. And they should be explicit about that, because if their client is you and he as individuals, yeah, the therapist could end up encouraging you to get divorced. So,
right. That's a very good point.
You want the client to be the marriage. And again, let me add the caveat. If there's any abuse, emotional or physical, you don't want the client to be the marriage. You want the client to be you. But
right. Yeah, that's a whole different being.
That's right. Outside of that situation, you want to focus on that. And I would say, you know, Fight Less, Love More, what we're offering here is a great opportunity for people who want to liven up their marriages, whether it's just kind of maybe in a rut, or maybe you hadn't been together for a long time, now you're together again, you know, in person and on the base, you know, whatever it is, or maybe you are having fights that aren't getting resolved, or you feel that communication could improve. Fight Less, Love More online virtual class is 9 weeks, 1 hour per week, $125 total for the couple. All the materials are sent to you. And our goal is to give skills really fast, really quickly, that go deep into our communication habits and fix them. And the love comes through when we can talk to each other in a better way.
Absolutely.
You know, because we're all...
Now, where can our fans go to find out more about the virtual course and about if they wanted to get their hands on your book? Because I know I do.
Sure.
Right? Me
well,
too.
I'll send it to you for free.
Oh, you're so sweet to us, Lori. You're too good to us, I swear.
How could I not? I appreciate the time that you've given me to talk about this. It's so important to help families stay strong. And I don't want people to lose hope. I want you to know there are options out there. There are things you can do. And everybody goes through ups and downs. You know, you're not alone. So we can make some tweaks and whatnot in our fighting habits and our communication styles, and we can have a brighter future. It's really, truly possible. And our couples, our research has proven that 96% of couples who take our course say they are much happier months after the course. I mean, it's making such an impact. So it's at fightlesslovemore.com. So that's pretty simple. Fightlesslovemore.com.
Yes, absolutely.
Keep it
absolutely
simple.
Guys.
Put all the information.
Yes, fight less, love more. You've given us some great stuff to think about, even for our own personal situations, Lori. I can't tell you how wonderful it's been to have you on the show tonight and get to have this time with you.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Excellent. Thanks. And we want to thank
you,
our listeners, too. I'm sorry, Ems. We want to thank our listeners, too, for being with us tonight and send a big congratulations. I'm not sure if we had a winner of our giveaway or not. But if we did, congratulations. Make sure you join us next week, November 17th. We will be featuring Linda Spangle of Weight Loss Joy. So make sure you tune in. You're not going to want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com, any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, or catch up with one of our many bloggers. We've combined Loving a Soldier with armywifenetwork.com. So if you want to check out a blogger, you just go to armywifenetwork.com. And you're going to go to the experience side and click on whatever you want to check it out.
And that's Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.